We're going to be in Mark chapter 4. If you'd like to take your Bibles and turn there, or your electronic devices, or however you find Mark chapter 4, we'll be in that familiar scripture in verse number 35, talking about the storm and the disciples, that the storm that the disciples and Jesus were in. Mark chapter 4, verse number 35, it's a familiar story. We've been through this story many times, but I hope to maybe take a new view on it this morning. Maybe this will speak to your heart. Maybe you're going through that difficult time right now in your life. Let this story this morning, this message in the gospel, speak to your heart. Follow along as I read. On the same day, when evening had come, he, that's Jesus, said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." If you have your Bible, underline that, because that's an important statement. Let us cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The text that we just read, well, it finds Jesus at a very difficult day, a long, difficult day. He had gone through a lot that day. During the day, he had had a confrontation with the Pharisees. We can see that in verse 22 through 30. You can go back and look at that. Some of his friends and even his family, well, they had thought that he had lost his mind, and they tried to kidnap him, take him away. During the end of that day, though, Jesus sat in this little boat just offshore on the Sea of Galilee, and taught. Used that boat as his pulpit, teaching to the multitudes that day. He preached, and when it was over, what did he say to his disciples? He's called his disciples into the boat, and he said, "Let's set sail for the other side of the lake." And so, what do we see? Well, we see the disciples rowing across that little lake. When? At night. It's night. It's the light is gone. The darkness has come. And while they guided the boat, where was Jesus? Well, Jesus was fast asleep in the back of the boat. The Lord was tired from the day. And I think that passage even shows us that the Lord was weary, and he understands our weariness sometimes. As we get weary and tired, he understands what we go through. And I love Psalm 103, verse number 14, because it says, "He knows how we are formed." Jesus knows all about us. He knows our every weakness. Jesus' disciples, well, they were accustomed to being on the Sea of Galilee. They were fishermen. They knew what they were doing. This was nothing new to them. They were even used to being on the shore at night, on the sea at night. They had no fears about that. They were fishermen. They were rowing to the other side, and what happens? Well, this tremendous storm brews, and it comes up, and they find themselves in the fight for their very life. The storm that threatened them, we could call it a storm. It was a storm of unusual power and intensity, and it terrified the disciples to no end, and it caused them to fear for their lives. And as I studied this passage and I thought about it, I thought about that superstorm Sandy that hit up into the Northeast in October of 2012, and that was that impressive hurricane that came on shore, and it collided with other storms to make this big, huge superstorm, and it caused tremendous amount of damage. It was powerful beyond belief. It caused billions of dollars, which killed a lot of people. It was a terrible, tragic, devastating storm. And that's the type of storm, you see, that the disciples were facing that night. They were fearing for their life. That storm didn't have the intensity or the size maybe of Sandy, but you see, it was still an intense storm. And it was also dark, and it was terrifying. I want us to join Jesus and the disciples this morning as they face the storm of their lives. They face themselves in that hopeless situation that they were in. There seemed to be no escape. You see, they couldn't see around them. It was pitch black. They didn't know what was going on. But what they experienced that night has much to teach us as we go through life and we experience those difficult times in our life. The disciples found themselves in that powerful, overwhelming storm. It was so intense, they feared for their lives. And that's the lesson I want us to learn this morning. As we find ourselves in those storms of life from time to time, everyone here, each one of us is on a journey. We're all on a journey this morning. And as we set sail, those storms are going to come into our lives, threaten us from time to time, threaten our vessels that we're in. Often, like the disciples, we think those storms are going to destroy us. But I want to remind you this morning, please be reminded that your storm that you might be in right now, it wasn't sent to destroy you, but it was sent to develop you. That storm that you're in this morning was sent to stretch you and pull you and mold you. That's what that storm is all about. The Lord will use that storm for your glory, for His glory, to grow you and make you stronger. There's that hope in Jesus, no matter how severe and intense your storm may be. Please remember that storm is not hopeless. And that's what I hope we learn from this passage this morning. That God will use the truths in this passage to teach us that there's hope in what we may be going through today. Verse number 37 talks about the realities of this storm. It says, "And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling." You know, one thing we see was that this storm was unexpected. The storm was unexpected. Mark tells us that it was a great windstorm. Storms like that, though, are very common, though, on the Sea of Galilee. If you know much about the Sea of Galilee, it's an unusual body of water. What's unusual about it? Well, it's only about 13 miles long and about 7 miles wide, but it's over 150 feet deep. It's a very deep lake, and it's surrounded by mountains. The sea itself is about 680 feet below sea level. It's an unusual body of water, and you see, as those winds normally came over those mountains and swept down into that lake, great storms could come up very often. And to combine those with that thunderstorm that they were going through that suddenly swept over the mountains, and it's middle of the night, the water can intensely stir up into these big, huge waves, and that's what the disciples were seeing that night, that intense storm. And they usually don't occur at night. Very unusual at night. So the disciples, they didn't set out in a storm. When Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side," they weren't in a storm. It was clean. Pure. It was okay. The weather was good. But you see, that storm arose. They didn't expect to encounter that storm, but it came anyways. But that's what our life is about. Isn't that true? That's what our life is about. You see, one minute, things are good. Oh, the next minute, things can be all upside down. One minute we can be enjoying that fair weather, and the next you find yourself in the middle of that terrifying storm. One phone call, one 24-hour period of time, one doctor visit, whatever it might be, and you're in that storm of your life. What does the Bible say about the storms of our life? Well, it's interesting. In John 16:33, it says this, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." What a wonderful promise that is that Jesus gives us. He gives us that promise that He's going to be with us. You're either in one of three places this morning. You're either in a storm that you might be going through. Maybe you're just coming out of that storm. Maybe you're headed into a storm. You're in one of those three places this morning. Storms are a part of our life. As I said, those storms really shouldn't surprise us. But the storm that the disciples went through, it was unexpected. But we also see that the storm was unrelenting. The storm was unrelenting. The storm continues its assault on this little boat. And Mark tells us that the boat, the ship, was already filling. There was water coming in. They were in danger of sinking. Mark tells us that it was a great windstorm. And if you look at that word great and you want to circle it, you can write off to one side exceedingly loud, large, mighty. It was a huge storm. It was a storm with a lot of intensity. Matthew calls the same storm a great tempest in Matthew 8:24. And then that word tempest means a violent upheaval like an earthquake. So we can see that the waves were rocking and rolling. The sea rose and fell under this little disciple's boat. They were beating against the ship. The disciples felt they had no stability, no safety, no security. They're terrified. And they're fishermen. They're used to this storm. That's one thing I want you to remember. These were not unseasoned men that were out on the boat on the lake that night. They were used to this stuff. But it was so intense that it filled their life with terror. The boat's full of water. They're afraid it's going to sink. It's a violent storm. It's in the middle of the night. They couldn't see where they were. They couldn't determine where they were, how close they were to shore. They didn't know. They couldn't even see the other ships around them. They were in danger. And in verse number 39, it says, "We perish." And that literally means we're being destroyed. They awoke the Savior. They awoke Jesus, and they cried, "Help us, Lord. This thing is killing us. Help us." And when the storms come in our life, they're severe. They do terrify us. They fill us with that worry, that fear. The storms blow in, and they increase in intensity. It seems like they'll never end. The storms of suffering come. They hit us with heartache and heartbreak, turmoil. One problem arises after another. The storms can toss your vessel. Maybe someone's taken away from you. You're broken. You're grief-stricken. You're stricken, shaken by your loss. Sorrow touches your life. And even if you're walking close to the Lord, those things still happen. We can still be affected by that storm. But Jesus was right with the disciples, and the storm was happening to them. The storms of sin often arise. It rages within us. When sin enters our heart, you know that sin comes in as that pleasant, wonderful little thing, that calm breeze. It promises us the best, but soon that sin turns to its darker side. Can rip through your life. That's why I love that last song that we just sang this morning, "Come to the Altar." That's what that song is talking about. If there's sin in your life, come to the altar for the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. If you're in that type of storm this morning, storms come into our life with that fear, that anxiety, that pain. But you see, there's no storm in your life that Jesus can't calm. That's what I want you to remember this morning. There's no problem too great for Jesus. The storm was unusual. Where did the storm come from? Well, it may have been natural. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But the Sea of Galilee, as I've already said, was susceptible to those storms, that type of storm. Yet it did come at night, and that was fairly rare. Maybe God sent the storm to teach the disciples something. That's what I think. When Jesus calmed the storm in verse number 39, well, what happened? It says, "Then he arose," Jesus arose, "and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the winds ceased, and there was great calm." He said, "Be still." That same word can be translated, "Hold thy peace." In Mark 1:25, It talks about the same peace be still when Jesus was speaking to a man with demons, commanding them to be quiet. Peace be still. That means to be muzzled. If you want to circle that, that word means to be muzzled. That's what Jesus was doing. He was muzzling the storm when the disciples woke him up. Peace be still. He muzzled the storm. Calm the storm. The Bible doesn't reveal the source of the storm, but there was something unusual about it. And I'm sure it taught the disciples that great lesson. And we would say, wow, the disciples should have known better. Oh, they should have known better. They were with Jesus all those years. They saw Jesus do the miracles. They saw him heal the sick and call out demons and raise the dead and cause the blind to see. They saw that, yet they were fearful for their lives in the middle of the storm. Are we like the disciples? Oh, I think we are. I am. Is my faith strong enough sometimes when those problems come into my life? I can tell you this little story that when I was in corporate America for 18 years, I decided it was time to get out. It was time to leave, and I went into the vending machine business, and I've said this story a couple times, and the vending machine business was an awful business to get into. It was a terrible time. It was a terrible time in the life of me and my family. I went from a well-paying job to a job that paid very little. Made a huge mistake. And I often wondered, God, why did you put me through? Why did you let this happen? Well, one of the things was I didn't pray right, and I wasn't prepared, and I didn't give it all to God before I made that decision. But he taught me a valuable lesson as I went through that and prepared for the company that my son and I would own now. Learned a lot of things that if I didn't know, would have been not very good. You see, he brought us through that time of trouble. He didn't leave. He was always in my boat. Is he in your boat this morning? I hope so. Sometimes we cause the storms. We act foolishly. Oh, Jonah discovered that truth, didn't he? Jonah put a storm into his life. He discovered what it was all about. So did Naomi and her family. Galatians 6:7 says we do reap what we sow. Sometimes we cause our own storms. Well, sometimes God sends the storms. Why would he do that? Sometimes he does it to discipline us and pull us in closer to him. That's a wonderful thing as we get closer to him. We go through those storms. You see, that was the case with David when he sinned with Bathsheba. He caused David to pull in and come closer to him. Sometimes it teaches us to follow deeply. That was the case with Job and all that he was forced to endure. You see, when God sends that storm into our life, it's always meant to draw us closer to him. Sometimes Satan is behind the storms. Satan will whip up that storm in your life to defeat you, discourage you, drive you away from the Lord. He does not want to see you in church on Sunday morning, on Wednesday night. He does not want to see you praying, doesn't want to see you reading your Bible. He'll throw everything he can at you to cause you to say, oh, I'll study later. Oh, I'll read later. Oh, I'll go to church next week. Oh, I'll listen to the Spirit FM radio some other time. Oh, I won't go to my neighbor and pray with him because I'm busy. He will throw everything at you. We have that real enemy. Please remember that, who is looking to defeat and destroy us as God's children. And he'll do whatever it takes to accomplish that, because 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and of sober mind. I love that first part of that verse, because that's on us. It says, be alert, be of sober mind. Know what you are getting into. Know that the devil is around you, because it says your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Be alert. But remember that Satan is limited in his ability to torment us by what? By the sovereign will of God. So regardless of the source, the storms of life come and we're forced to deal with them. Number one, the realities of the storm. Number two, in verse number 35 and 38, it talks about the realm of the storm. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." If you have your Bible, underline that. That's an important statement. Let us cross over to the other side. Verse number 38, but he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" The storm was right in their face. And for the sake of repetition, the storm was real. It was right there. They could feel the wind. They could feel the waves. As they battered the boat, they knew what was going on. They were soaked from the water, the rain. They were tired. They were overcome with weakness. Nothing pretend about the storm. Just like when we go through storms, we feel them. We feel them too. They shake our world. Sometimes they touch us and we feel it. They touch our heart and we feel it. They rock us and we feel it. The storms that we go through are real. They batter our lives. They wear us down. They leave us broken, wounded. They hit us in the face and they wear us out. But you see, the greatest danger that the disciples faced that night was not physical. And if you don't get anything else out of this teaching this morning, I want you to remember this one thing. The real storm was not the storm that battered the boat. The real storm they faced that night was the storm that struck them at the very heart of their walk with Jesus. You see, that was the real storm that they encountered that night. It was the storm that was at the very heart their walk with Jesus. And that's why I believe that Jesus brought that storm on them that night, because they needed to see who Jesus was and they needed to trust him even more. The storm was in their face, but you see, the storm was in their faith. In verse number 38, what does it say? It says, "Do you not care?" They accused the Lord of not caring about what they were facing. Why the doubt? We've just said that. They'd already seen his compassion, his goodness in action. They had seen Jesus' face and conquer every situation that he had been in. They'd already seen all that. Now they're faced with this storm and they're afraid. They should have known that that little wind, that rain, wasn't going to do Jesus in. Jesus was right there with him. But you see, their problem was they were looking at the situation and not at Jesus. They had their eyes on the problem and not on Jesus, the problem solver. That was the situation that night. But before we say, "Oh, the disciples were foolish, how could they do that?" We do the same thing. We do exactly the same thing. Those storms are raging in our life. Haven't we questioned God's concern? Haven't we said out loud, "God, why is this happening? Why is this happening?" My wife and I lost a little one at 7 months. It was a little baby boy. We had already had a son, and my wife was pregnant, and we lost this little one at 7 months. And we questioned God, "Why would you do this to us? Why would you do it?" He gave us a wonderful daughter later on. And as we look back on that, I still don't have the answer why he did that. But he did it to strengthen us. He did it to strengthen our walk and to prepare us for a wonderful daughter that came along a couple years later. Do we question God? If God really loves me, why is this happening? I think about that poem, Footprints in the Sand. Jesus, we're walking down the beach and life is great and there's two sets of footprints, yours and mine. And we're walking down and all of a sudden times get tough and there's only one set of footprints. "God, why did you leave me?" "Oh, my son, it's when I carried you. Is he carrying you this morning through problems that you might have? The storm was in their fears. You see, while the storm is raging around them, Jesus, where? He's fast asleep in the back of the boat. They run to him. They wake him up. And that word awoke means to arouse from sleep. He used it to speak of a calm sea that was just beginning to get agitated. Oh, it was already agitated. They went to Jesus where he was sleeping. They began to shake him, wake him up. Jesus, help us. We're going to die. Don't you care? They were terrified. They had lots of doubts. They went to Jesus. We're perishing. And remember, it was Jesus who sent them out on the sea that night. These men had left everything to follow Jesus. And now they're seeing this dangerous situation that he's led them into. They're afraid Jesus is just going to let them die. But let me just assure you of this, that Jesus didn't save you to abandon you. Jesus didn't save us to just abandon us. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says this, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. If that's one promise that we can hang on to, and we should put on our refrigerator, in our dashboards, in our bathroom mirrors, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Of all the promises, that's such a beautiful promise that we can hold on to, that never leave you. Well, the word leave means I will not let you sink. Wow, I won't let you sink. I'm going to hold you up. I'll never leave you. That word forsake means I won't abandon you. I won't desert you. I won't leave you under any circumstance. When that storm is raging, when that boat is rocking, the winds are blowing, the waves are crashing over your vessel, he'll hold on to you. He will be there for you under any circumstance. Jesus is absolutely committed to you. They shouldn't be afraid. You see, they had his promise, and I ask you to underline this. Let us cross over to the other side. Why is that important? Because Jesus has already told them what he's going to do. He's already told them, guys, we're going to make it to the other side. There was no doubt. He'd already had told them that. They were headed to the other side. Even though they were in the storm of their life, they were already should have known that Jesus has already said, we're going to make it. We're going to get to the other side. And the Lord has promised us everything is going to be all right too. We see that in Romans 8:28. He's promised us that he will take care of us. Luke 12, verse number 32, it says, do not be afraid. And I know that's difficult. You may be going through a very difficult time right now, something in your life. But Jesus says, do not be afraid. We need to learn to take him at his word, and we can face those storms that we're going through, whatever they are. We've looked at the realities of the storm, the realm of the storm. Verse number 39 through 41 talks about the reason for the storm. It says, then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they, talking about the disciples, feared, what does it say? Exceedingly. What does that word exceedingly mean? Well, it means that which strikes terror. Wow. They had just seen Jesus calm the wind and the waves. And how did they act? They were filled with terror. They said to one another, how can this be that even the wind and the waves of the sea obey him? There's all types of storms in our lives, the storms of correction. Sometimes when we wander, Jesus will send that storm to bring us back. He'll bring us back. There's storms of perfection. Sometimes God uses those storms to make us more like him. And then there's storms of instruction, kind of storms to make us know him better. Regardless of whatever storm we're facing, they're designed to develop us and to help us become more like Jesus. Romans 8:28, as we know, all things work for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I believe this storm that we've read about this morning was a storm of instruction. Jesus was using that storm to show the disciples more about himself. And boy, they learned a lot. What did they learn? Well, they learned about his character. They learned about the person of Jesus that maybe they never understood before. They learned that he was powerful, the sovereign creator of everything. Oh, they learned that he was Lord of all, that nothing bothered him, that nothing posed a problem for Jesus. He rebuked the wind. He spoke to the sea. And isn't it wonderful that that same Jesus that did that is the same Jesus that we serve today? He has that same power today in our lives. That same power. He'll protect you whenever you're going through that storm. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What a wonderful story. Jesus was right there. They didn't not walk through the fiery furnace. They were in there. They were in the fiery furnace. Daniel in the lion's den, he was in there. But he was protected just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They went through the storm, but they were protected. God was with them. Jesus calmed the sea. They were amazed, and they said, "Who can this be?" Oh, they learned that he was the one that was in control of everything. They learned so much about Jesus. They learned about his credibility as they passed over to the other side, just like they said, just like Jesus said they would. He didn't lie. He told them the truth right up front. Let's go and pass to the other side. They learned that he was true to his word. And he will be true to us. Everything that he has promised, he will do. He won't back away from any of those promises that he has given us. They learned about his comfort. Why were they terrified and waiting to die? While they're doing that, what is Jesus doing? Well, he's sleeping. He's sleeping in the back of the boat because he knows that he is in the center of his Father's will. He knows that he's not going to die. He knows that he is going to die on the cross of Calvary. He had no fear. They woke him up and he calmed the sea. They learned about the comfort of Jesus. That situation didn't bother Jesus. And as we go through those difficult situations, please remember that he is the Prince of Peace. And he's able to share that peace with us. That's his promise. And finally, they learned about his cause. Why did Jesus send the disciples into that storm? Well, I believe that it was just that reason. To teach them all the things that we just looked at, so that they learned about Jesus, that things that they learned about in no other way. But Jesus taught them. Taught them all those great things. What about us? We have the Bible. It tells us about all the things that he's done and all the things that he will do. We have the testimony of others around us. We see what he's done for others. We just need to trust him. We need to trust him more. Jesus uses the storms to teach us, you know, that we can lean on him and that he'll take care of us. You see, when they arrived in Gadara, they saw Jesus face this demon-possessed man when they crossed over the other side. I wonder when he faced that demon-possessed man if they still had doubts. Or did they say, "Wow"? Let's just remember what a few hours ago happened. He calmed the sea. They were exceedingly fearful. He does send those storms, though, to educate us and teach us. And I love that verse where it talks about Jesus is the potter and we're the clay. I want you to think about that this morning. That lump of clay, that's what we are. That lump of useless clay. And Jesus takes that clay and he molds it. And he stretches it. And he beats on it. And he stretches it some more. And sometimes he smashes it back down and starts over. We're the clay. Is he molding your life this morning? Or have you given your life to him this morning so that he can mold you and be a part of it? Is he part of your life this morning? I read something on Facebook this morning, and it was this. A little boy asked his father, "How big is God?" And his father said, "Well, son, look up into the sky." And his son looked up, and there was an airplane way up there. And his father said, "How big is that airplane?" And the little boy said, "That's really small. I can hardly see it." And a little while later, his dad drove the son to an airport. And they drove by one of those big jet planes, and his dad said, "Son, how big is that plane?" And the little boy said, "That plane is huge." You see, it all has to do with your perspective. How close are you to God? Is God far away this morning? Is he far away from you? If he is, he probably looks fairly small. If you're walking close to the Lord, he's pretty big. He's right there with you. Is he in your boat this morning? There were other little boats on the ocean, on the Sea of Galilee that night. Jesus was only in one boat. There, he was with the disciples. Is he in your boat this morning? I hope he is.